appreciate the blessing of the Lord and want to serve Him with all of our hearts. We've been studying some about the prophecies of things that were coming. And the Bible terms some of those things as mysteries. Some of those things, they didn't understand fully what they were saying. They prophesied of things to come. God moved upon their tongue, upon their heart, and they prophesied that there was something coming. There was a Messiah coming. There was one coming. There was a kingdom coming. There was a kingdom that would be established that was coming. And we've been studying about that. And this morning, I want to go back and think a little bit about what all of this is about to start with. You know, Adam and Eve had a beautiful situation in the Garden of Eden. It describes it as perfect. I know no other way to say it. It describes it as the dream of all we could think of. They had it. They had that. But because of their disobedience to God, they were cast out of that place. And they were in the world then, outside of the Garden of Eden, without a clue as to what was coming their way. I am sure that when Satan tempted Eve, she never dreamed what it really meant when the Lord said that you're going to die. She did not know that a few years down the road, one of her dear sons was going to kill her other dear son. She didn't know that. Eve did not know what it meant to cast the whole human race into sin. But I will tell you, it created a huge problem, didn't it? Don't we see all around us today the effects of sin? All around us we see people grappling with life, reaching for a straw, wishing for some kind of deliverance, some kind of help, some kind of a stronger will. And we see them going through all kinds of programs, and we see them doing everything they can muster in themselves to do, and it's still insufficient. And that's the greatness of the problem. That's the enormity of sin. It ruined Adam and Eve's dreams, didn't it? And you know, I'm just going to throw this in there. I've thought many times, I would love to hear a couple of their conversations after that. I would love to hear that. You know, it probably wouldn't be too pretty to hear. But I imagine Adam was really bitter at his wife sometimes for what she offered him. He did it himself. There wasn't any excuse for Adam. But don't you know, when they realized the pain that was involved in sin, they knew they had done a great wrong. And what were they going to do to get out of it? And how could they get out of it? How could they reach back up to God and say, God, we're sorry, we really want to go back to the Garden of Eden? The Lord told them beforehand some of what was going to happen. He didn't tell them everything, but He said, you're going to die. You're going to die spiritually. You're going to die physically. There's going to be a complete difference in your life. But they didn't believe that. And people today still don't believe that until they're out in the midst of all that. And so what was all these prophecies of Christ about all through the thousands of years? And the Lord was giving them hope. There's going to be something coming. I'm going to provide a cure for the problem. Do you know that that's what all those prophecies of Christ was about? There was a cure for sin. There was a cure there was something, there was a balm for people that are sick even. There was something there that we can call upon the Lord then, and He will heal. There was a fix for our emotional troubles through Christ. And he brought all of that. Do you know that they were all through those thousands of years, they were prophesying of what was coming. And yet it was a mystery. What's it going to be? And when Christ came, they began to constantly ask Him. I wonder how many times they really asked Him. When are you going to set up a kingdom? When are you going to set your kingdom up here? When are you going to build your golden palace and I'm going to be on your right hand? Or at least one of your close confidants. You know, and so they saw, they still didn't fully understand. But you know what? We are a couple thousand years after. And we're looking back, aren't we? And we're looking at a different picture. We see what happened. We see what the Lord brought to us. And we see the cure that the Lord brought.
Yes, amen.
Oh, folks. This morning, I hope our hearts can reach up and get a hold of a little bit this morning that the Lord came to fix the problem.
Amen.
He came to bring the cure for the many ills of life that sin brought upon us. It's in the Lord. I want to read a few places, and I want to remind us of a scripture that we mentioned last week that said this in Malachi 4, "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness," S-U-N, the Son of God, Son of Man, He called Himself, the Son of Righteousness. And He's going to arise with healing in His wings. "And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall." Folks, that is what the Lord came to bring back to us. Now, it was 400 years after that before the Lord came. But I want to hope this morning that we can lay hold on the promise of God. That what He promised to come came. And what He gives to us today is what He brought. And so this morning, what did the Lord bring? Oh, I want to look at Matthew, the 8th chapter. And in a bit, maybe we'll look at some scriptures about the kingdom. And maybe we'll have a little more glow in our heart about what that really means here. Matthew 8, 23 to 27. "And when He was entered into a ship, His disciples followed Him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but He was asleep. And His disciples came to Him and awoke Him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And He saith unto them, Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then He arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey Him?" You know, this morning, the King had entered on the scene, hadn't He?
Yes.
This wasn't just anybody on the boat. They didn't go to somebody and say, "Hey, pray for us." They went to the King. And they said, "Save us. We're perishing. Save us." They knew who to go to. Folks, we know who to go to, don't we? You know, this morning, the Lord has given, He has given to us this wonderful gift in His Son. And it's not limited to some little compartment of our life. It involves everything that we are involved in. One scripture terms it all things that pertain to life and godliness. All things that pertain to life and godliness, not just godliness. Folks, the King has entered in. He knows, He hears, He understands. Our work is to get with Him, to understand Him, to let Him bring understanding into our life. Oh, the Lord wants to do that. I want to tell you something. He just arose and He was like, "Why are you so fearful?" Now, that seems quite a question. Why would he ask that? Why are you so fearful? It's quite evident why. Because it looked like we're drowning. Folks, if the Lord's in our life, we are not about to drown. Amen. We aren't even close to drowning unless God allows it to be so.
That's right.
Because what comes to our life must go through His hands. And He is the King.
Yes.
The King entered in on this situation, folks. And when He entered in, things changed immediately. He said, what did He say? He rebuked the winds and the sea. I think one place it says He said, peace, be still. And there was a great calm. You know, this morning, the Lord does that for us, doesn't He? Oh, let's remember. We are where we are because the price of sin. But I want to tell you, we have the hope we have because the price of blood. The price of the Redeemer that came to us. The King that came here. Folks, we've met the King. What a kingdom. What a kingdom. What about the King? I want to tell you something. They preached all over the gospel, the good news of the kingdom of God. And I want to read just a few of those scriptures in a few minutes. But you know what? They took the gospel, the good news of the kingdom. Folks, there is one that has power and authority in our life today. And I don't know what your life is in, because some of them are pretty tumultuous. Some of our lives are like this sea. And you hear about it, and folks, it just comes to people's lives, and it comes suddenly, and the wind comes up. And what is wrong? And have we sinned? Is there something wrong? Folks, somebody sinned all right and cast us into a lot of troubles, didn't they? Let's don't forget it, and don't let the devil tempt us with sin, because he certainly will. But we want to be well-armed with the mind of Christ and guarded. Let's don't underestimate this King. I believe the Lord has, as He said in Matthew 28:18, He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Do you know that Jesus has great authority, folks? We can appeal to Him, and He'll appeal to the Father. And the angels are at His command. I believe this morning. I want to read another reading over here in Mark 5:1. And we want to tie this together because it is tied together. What we're fixing to read in Mark 5 comes right on the back of this here. They got it out of the boat after this great storm and went and met this man. Or men. Mark 5:1 says 9. And they came over into the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. You know what Matthew says? Exceeding fierce. That's what Matthew called it. And this says they couldn't bind him, not with chains. Now tell me how a man could break chains or whatever he did, anything they put on him. How could he do that? Because there was powers working with him and against him and binding him. And here was this man. You think anybody wants to go about the tombs and live there? And crying at night and crying out and cutting themselves and all those things. No man likes that, do they? It's a miserable existence. It's where Satan would love to take every one of you. Kids, I want to tell you something. Satan is no friend of yours. I want to tell you something happened in this man's life. Somewhere along the way, he gave Satan space and room. And he let him have room in his life. And then he gave him some more room. And then he started binding him with chains and chains of sin and grief and woe. And he bound him And he gave him more room. And somehow this man became exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass that way, the scripture says. And you know, here it says, he had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that when he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. No man could tame him. He just break those stocks in pieces. More than human. Something terrible going on. My father worked in a hospital because of CO work. And they had a man in there. And this man was like this. One time, he would even get in and pull the plates off of the electrical things. And he said he pulled the wires out. And live wires. And he did all of this stuff. And he said he saw the notes the doctor wrote one time. A power beyond human. You know what, folks? These men are tormented like this. Don't give the devil space in your life. Because just as much space as you give him, he's going to take. And he's going to wrap binding chains around you. That's what Adam and Eve didn't realize. But I'm telling you because I want you to realize that this morning. And it says, and always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Why would a man cut himself? Probably less pain than the pain he had otherwise. Probably took his mind off of his other pain. Why would the man do this? I want to tell you, this man was tormented. Folks, Satan is no friend of ours. And the things he offers us is nothing for our benefit. But there is one, folks, and God promised from the beginning of time, from the beginning after the fall, he promised there would be one that would break the power of this, that would crush his head. I believe it's something to that order, crush his head. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. And cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. Now you know who was speaking there? Satan was. Right through this man. Tormented. Leave me. I want to keep tormenting him. But for he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion. Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. And we know the rest of the story. The swine ran down a steep cliff and off into the ocean and drowned. Folks, I just want to tell you, Jesus came on the scene here, didn't he? And you know what the people of the community found after that? They came and they found a man that was clothed and in his right mind. That's what this kingdom is all about. There's a king, folks. There's a king. And we're not left. We are not left to just whatever happens to us and the devil's designs. We are left to what God has provided for us. Amen. If we can believe, folks, and trust in God, and give our lives to Him, and I urge you, young folks, give your life to the Lord. You want blessings abounding? Now, do I say that you're never going to have any troubles? Oh, sure, you're a person. You're in this world, and sin is going to have its effect. Because there's going to be sinful people around you. Sickness and disease are going to take your life. Our body is dead because of sin. We have a death sentence on us. Did you know that? But we can be alive unto Christ. Our spirit can be alive and right with the Lord. Oh, this morning, let the Spirit of the Lord have your life. You want blessings abounding. Get to know the King of the kingdom. Let that kingdom that we read about, the very title of it says, "What a Kingdom." And this writer says, there's a theme. Well, I'll start with verse 2. There's a scene of its grandness before me. Of its greatness there can be no end. It is joy, it is peace, it is glory. In my heart how these riches do blend. Now I want to tell you something this morning. That's the kingdom of God, and the king came to give it to us. Now Jesus, I believe it was, said that, I got this verse, let me find it here. Since the law and the prophets were until John, since that time the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. That's Luke 16 and 16. I want to tell you, you're going to get saved, and the devil's going to attack you. Yes, he will. If you want to be saved, you're going to have to press your way into it. Okay? There are these many blessings, but we're going to have to press for them. It's like anything else we get in life. They don't just come rolling down to you. You're going to have to press for it. Man got himself into sin. You've gotten yourself into sin. I got myself into sin. And it takes a great one to deliver us. That King, that Redeemer, is Jesus Christ. Oh, this morning, I hope our faith can be enriched this morning.
Yes.
To know, folks, that what we need is not some fix. We need the Lord.
Amen.
He is the fix this morning. He is the one. The scripture tells us in John 8 and 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Folks, there's nothing like real freedom. There's nothing like real freedom. There's nothing like real freedom from the bonds that keep people enslaved through drugs, through hatred, through malice, through sin, through lust. Have you ever prayed with someone? Have you ever talked to people, folks, that are bound with a spirit of lust or something? Wanting to be free. I'm tired of, folks, the Lord has those things for us. The King wants to set us free. It's His kingdom. He has all power in heaven and earth, and don't ever doubt that. The devil wants us to believe. He tempted Jesus. He said, I'll give you all these kingdoms if you'll bow down and worship me. But I want to tell you, the Lord has all power in heaven and in earth. He don't need to sit on the seat of the kingdoms of the earth, does he? He don't need that. Let's look at another place. Luke 13 and 11. I thought about this some lately for a while. The scripture tells us here, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. I hope our faith can rise up this morning. I want to tell you something. This King that has all power in heaven and earth controls the oceans. He can cast the spirits out of people that are totally wasted by them.
Yes.
He can heal us when we're bowed over. He can heal us when we're sick. He has all that we need, all that pertains to life and godliness. You know what? When you have troubles in your life, financial troubles, troubles with other people, I want to tell you the King has power in those places. Let's look to Him. He said, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Now, there's nobody that can do things like that, is there? But the Lord. And He can. So, we want to keep in mind, folks, Jesus gave us the words of life. You ever read the Sermon on the Mount? Isn't that, how else do you say, isn't that delicious? Isn't that mouth-watering? Isn't it tantalizing to sit and read those scriptures and begin to study what each one of them mean? Oh, it's good, isn't it? That's what the Lord gives. The King, He not only has power over all these things, the oceans, the seas, the lakes, our troubles, our sins. He's able to save us, clean us up, fill us with His Spirit, and keep us into eternity. The Lord will do that if we will let Him this morning. And folks, He'll heal us of our diseases. I've seen it. I've experienced it myself. Plenty of times when I know it was the hand of the Lord that did it. Oh, we thank God for that. We don't have anything to boast in that, do we? It's the King, folks. Get Him on board. Have faith in Him. Trust Him. Find out, Lord, what do You want me to do? Lord, what do You want in this situation? Lord, how do You want me? Lord, I need You. I need You. And I want to tell you something. When we humble ourselves, we find all that He had in His kingdom, don't we? You know, the Lord's words are not like the scribes' words, where they studied things and they had all these conjectures and all. No, it says He taught them as one having authority. That's because He was the King. So the words that He has left us, they're life, aren't they? The very Sermon on the Mount, probably the greatest teaching on everyday life that man has ever had. So we see a picture of the cure in every way. I hope your heart can reach up. Lord, come into my life in a greater way. Lord, inspire my faith to take in all that You have for me.
Yes.
As we've said many times, I really believe what Brother Austin said. I really do. We live below our privileges. We live below our privileges many times, folks. The Lord has so much for us. And sometimes we get along on scant rations. Oh, we don't want to do that. I want the full thing. So when these came along, and I want us to get a picture this morning of the kingdom of God, a little clearer picture of what it is in our mind. Matthew 3:1-2, it says, "And in those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Do you know that the New Testament mentions the very phrases, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, over 100 times? That phrase, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, same thing. It mentions that over 103 times. That's what it mentions it. Folks, it is an important thing. They went forth preaching the kingdom of God, the good news, the gospel. That's what we have today. Folks, this is good news for you and me this morning. So John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I want to look over in Luke 3:2. And we find here a little reading. Annas and Caiaphas, being the high priest, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. You know, I understand that to be the baptism. You know, there's several baptisms, isn't there? There's water baptism after we're saved. But he says here he was preaching the baptism of repentance. And we hear about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Folks, to me that means a total immersion into this. He's preaching the baptism of repentance. Repent, the kingdom of heaven is close by. For the remission of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Do you know that what John was preaching was, he was preaching, there's one coming before me. I'm not worthy to unloose his shoe latchet, but there's one coming. But prepare your hearts for him. Get ready for him to enter in. Bring forth fruits meet for repentance. Repent and be sorry for your sins and change, because the king is coming. His kingdom is right here. It's at hand. And he says here, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. Folks, we can prepare our hearts. You know what? I remember, if Brother Lonnie will let me tell on him here, I remember when he went to Monarch one year, and he was a young guy. And you know what he took with him? A set of clothes to be baptized in. Because he determined, I'm getting saved. You know what? He was preparing his heart before it happened. And you know what? And still, now here it is all these years later. Folks, we can prepare the way of the Lord for our lives. Prepare a place for him. Prepare for God to have his way in your life. Begin to make amends if you need to. And ask God, I want to be saved, Lord. Because, see, he has to help us with that, doesn't he? He has to deal with our heart. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low. What's that mean? Every valley is going to be filled. Folks, the low places, those low places, those sinful places, those things that would take us down, I want to tell you, they're going to be made straight. Those high places of pride and where we exalt our will above God's will, and all the, they're going to come down, and there's going to be a highway. And we know what a highway is, don't we? We've seen it go through the mountains. We've seen it go over the low places and the high places be brought down. We've seen that, haven't we? You know, the Lord wants to do that in our lives too. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough way shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of the Lord. Oh, this morning, we're talking about the kingdom of God. We have a few more scriptures here. Luke 17 and 20. We find Jesus speaking. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Folks, that ought to settle something in our hearts and lives. Let's don't put it off in another age. Let's don't put it off in some way that's human. He said, it's not going to come with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Isn't that a blessing this morning? Let's open our hearts to it, folks. The kingdom of God is within you, and the Lord wants to just fill us up with his goodness. Now, in Mark 1 and 14 and 15, now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel, you know what gospel means, don't you? It means a good thing. It means good news. And so he came preaching the good news of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Folks, that's for you and me to do, to believe the gospel. Philip, when they, Acts 8 and 12, when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Now, you know what, folks? Not everybody's going to believe. But I'm encouraging you this morning and all of us, and those that hear this, to believe.
Yes, amen.
I'm encouraging us, if we haven't repented, to repent and to be baptized. And that's what Philip was preaching, the glad tidings, the good things of the kingdom of God. And they heard and they believed and it changed their life. All this morning, the Lord wants to do that. You know what? When Paul was in prison, Acts 28 and 30, Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Oh, this morning, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not meat and drink, folks. But righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. And I can hear the lawyers now. And what is righteousness? Is it God's righteousness? Is it Jesus' righteousness? Yes, it's His in our lives. Lived out through our lives. There's an abundance of scriptures to tell us that. Oh, let's press into it. Matthew 5 and 3 says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." That's the people that get it, folks. The people that are poor in spirit. They give up their spirit. They give up their ideas, their life, and they take upon them the Lord's. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The poor in spirit, folks, are those that humble themselves. They're those that become as little children and they give up the grudges and they give up the bitterness and they give up their own thoughts and all of that and they become as little children.
Yes.
Folks, and they have poor, they become poor in spirit. And the scriptures tell us theirs is the kingdom of God. So if we want this, we're going to have to press for it. We're going to have to humble ourselves. We're going to have to forgive. There isn't any hatred in the kingdom of God. It's a kingdom of peace.
Yes.
And it reigns. And it's full. And it blooms. And there's power there. And there's strength there. And there's healing there. And so we put aside these other things. We prepare our hearts and our lives. This is what the prophets spoke of for centuries before, telling what was going to happen, that he was going to be called Wonderful, the Prince of Peace, Counselor, all of these things, the Mighty God. That's who Christ was in the flesh. And now we find him to be our mediator. Y'all pray for me. I want to live for the Lord. I want to make heaven my home too. Amen. Yeah.